Okay, we're on the final promise. Benedictines make it their profession. It is the promise of obedience. I'm going to give you a testimony here. I originally wrote up my notes, and obedience is a topic that has been emphasized a lot in the CEC over the years, in and out of favor, as it were. And so I hadn't put a lot of information or emphasis on this. And I woke up one morning and the Lord said, "Why are you going easy on them?" I was like, "Oh, okay." So what used to be 2 pages of notes is now 4. So sit down, put your belt on a little tighter, and then let's go. All right. This virtue of obedience, is one that every Christian should strive to possess, because life without obedience is fruitless. Without obedience to God, we are alienated from the source of life. Without obedience to those in authority, we are in rebellion. Samuel, the prophet Samuel, told King Saul that a disobedience is like the spirit of divination. He said, quote, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, for rebellion is as the sin of divination, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. And St. Paul argued that anyone who resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Romans 13:2. So obedience to those in authority is really no small matter. The heart of Benedict's teaching on obedience is found in chapter 5 of the Rule, and I commend that to you. I strongly encourage you to read that at the beginning of your meditation time. I think it will put everything in a good context for you as you are meditating. So, Rule of St. Benedict, chapter 5. So, St. Benedict says that true obedience is always immediate, complete, and joyful. True obedience is always immediate, complete, and joyful. This type of obedience honors God and builds up the body. So let's take a look at these 3 characteristics. In chapter 5, verse 4, Benedict says, obedience is immediate. Quote, "As soon as the superior has commanded anything, those who cherish Christ permit no delay in the execution of that work, as if the matter had been commanded by God himself." End quote. It is easy to confuse obedience and compliance. A truly obedient servant will not hesitate to obey the command of one in authority, even if he doesn't understand or agree with that command. If we hesitate or comply with a rebellious heart, our obedience is at best compliance. And Benedict says that that will be unacceptable to God. He goes on to say that truly, the obedient therefore, quote, "instantly quit their own work and abandon their own will and lay down whatever they have in hand, and leaving unfinished what they were doing, follow with the ready step of obedience the voice of authority. This obedience, however, will be acceptable to God and agreeable to men only if what is commanded is done without hesitation, delay, lukewarmness, grumbling, or complaint." All right, so obedience is always immediate. Obedience is also always complete. Chapter 5, verse 9. "And in the same moment, both the master's command and the disciples' finished work are, in the fear of God, speedily finished together. What we are assigned to do must be done immediately, that is, without delay, but it must also be done completely. We must do the task with diligence as if we are doing it for Christ himself. Benedict says, quote, "This comes to those who hold nothing dearer than Christ," chapter 5, verse 1. But what if we're in the middle of doing something important for ourselves or someone else? What if this is not a convenient time to drop what we're doing and to do the work assigned by a superior? Benedict instructs that, "In the same moment, both the master's command and the disciples' finished work are, in the fear of God, speedily finished together." God will bless our obedience and our efforts. He will not allow anything to be left undone. We're doing it for him. We do the work assigned by a superior in the fear of God, and God will bless those who practice that unflinching obedience. And we do the work assigned because we're doing it for Christ himself. For there is, as Benedict reminds us, nothing dearer than Christ. For obedience, Benedict says, which is rendered to superiors, is rendered to God, and we don't leave our work for God unfinished. Thirdly, the third characteristic, obedience is joyful. Chapter 5, verse 16. Obedience must be rendered gladly by the disciples. Benedict says that obedience must be rendered gladly by the disciples. And to support this, he quotes St. Paul saying, "For the Lord loves a cheerful giver." 2 Corinthians 9:7. Benedict explains that if the disciple obeys with an ill will and grumbles, not only with his lips but also in his heart, even though he fulfills the command, yet it will not be acceptable to God, who regards the heart of the grumbler. Well, this is the difference between, again, obedience and compliance. True obedience is offered cheerfully. Now, I've got to admit, this is one of the hardest things I have to do. There are a lot of things that I've been told by my bishop as an archdeacon, you know, sometimes it is not always a joyful thing to do the thing that we're being told to do. As just a parish priest, sometimes the bishop says, "I want you to do this," or "I want you to do that." It's hard sometimes to be joyful about those requests made by those in authority. But Benedict is saying, this is one of the ways we truly honor God, to joyfully receive the instruction from our superior and enter into it as if we are doing it for Christ himself. This is the difference between that obedience and compliance. True obedience is offered cheerfully. And when we offer our obedience to our superior, we are expressing our obedience unto Christ and reflect. And this reflects on our relationship with him. It should be, for him, an act of joy. So, obedience, however, is not an onerous duty. Rather, it is an act of love. According to Benedict, it is love that impels us. Chapter 5, verse 10. It is love that impels us to be obedient. But it is also a battle to maintain this lifestyle. In the prologue, in verses 40 through 41, Benedict says, "We must prepare our hearts and bodies for the battle of holy obedience to his instructions. What is not possible to us by nature, let us ask the Lord to supply by the help of grace." And though we will inevitably struggle to maintain a life of obedience, obedience is a blessing. It is a blessing that leads to a deeper and more profound relationship with God. Quote, "Since we know that it is by this way of obedience that we go to God," Benedict says in chapter 71, verse 2. Obedience is a labor. It is a battle. But it is also a blessing. Even when we are asked by those in authority over us to do seemingly impossible tasks, we must submit and with complete gentleness and obedience, Benedict says, accept the order given. Trusting in God's help, he must obey. He must, in love, obey. So the truth is, none of us can truly be obedient nor accomplish the tasks given to us without reliance on God's help, on God's grace. And though the heart of St. Benedict's instruction regarding obedience is found in chapter 5, the message of this virtue's importance for the life of the individual and for the community permeates every chapter. There's just so much meat here. I feel like I'm running over it and not giving it a fair shake. I really would encourage you that if you get online, go online and look at a PDF copy of The Rule of St. Benedict and put in the search, obedience, put in obey, and just look at all the ways Benedict talks about it, because it is so rich. And I feel like that's what the Lord was saying to me. Don't shortchange this, because it's not just about honoring the one who is a superior over you, but it's a way of giving God the glory and honoring him by being obedient to those who are in authority over you, those who are your superior, but also those who are your brothers in Christ. So, I'm sorry, side note. The clarion call to obedience is made in the opening verse of the prologue. He says, "The labor of obedience will bring you back to him from whom you have drifted through the slough of disobedience. This message of mine is for you then, if you are ready to give up your own will once and for all, and armed with the strong and noble weapons of obedience to do battle for the true King, Christ the Lord." Now, when Benedict is speaking about being armed with the strong and noble weapons of obedience, it's a twofold message. We've already mentioned that it is a battle sometimes for us in ourselves to be obedient to those who are in authority over us. But we must also recognize that obedience is a weapon in spiritual warfare. Okay? When we are obedient to those in authority, we disarm principalities and powers. When we rebel, resist, or ignore those who are in authority, we create division in the body. The enemy will take advantage of those lapses in obedience and use them to divide the church. And we have had plenty of evidence of that. We need no more. We need no more. And when we put faithful obedience to practice in our lives, we renew, as our Father Benedict declares, our living relationship with Christ and his church. Thus, by our obedience, we do battle for Christ the Lord, for Christ our true King. Obedience, however, is not simply obeying orders by our superiors. In chapter 71, Benedict says, "Obedience is a blessing to be shown by all, not only to the abbot, but also to one another as brothers, since we know that it is by this way of obedience that we go to God." Another way to look at that is that the life and health of the community is tied to the virtue of obedience. And if we are to live together in love and unity, as brothers in Christ, we must show respect for one another, support each other with patience, and, quote, earnestly compete in obedience to one another, end quote. Chapter 72, verses 4 through 6. Those of us who live outside the monastic enclosure do not have an abbot, but we do have ecclesiastical authority. and we have each other. By showing respect for those who are our superiors in the church, and by supporting one another in patience and love, we will continue to build up the body of Christ. And if we live our lives in accordance with the precepts of the rule of Saint Benedict, our lives will be a witness to the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit within the community of faith and to the wider community in the world. The world is watching. There's been plenty enough evidence that obedience is not practiced throughout the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And it needs to be. Benedict said, quote, "Your way of acting should be different from the world's way. The love of Christ must come before all else." Chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. Did you notice, Father Looker, that that's written above the door in the main chapel? As you exit, that's what the monks see as they're going out. "Your way of acting should be different from the world's way. The love of Christ must come before all else." The world is dying to know Christ. But if they cannot see any difference in the behavior of the followers of Christ, why should they believe? Our obedience to Christ should foster change in our life. But we need a disciplined spiritual life to help foster that change. It doesn't just happen. The way of life presented in the rule of Saint Benedict is a simple life of living in preference for Christ. Let me repeat that. The way of life presented in the rule of Saint Benedict is a simple life of living in preference for Christ. This change can only be brought about when we practice obedience to Christ, to the gospel, and to those who are in authority over us. God honors those who honor Him. Our obedience is a labor of love which honors the Lord. Obedience shown to our superiors and to one another is given as if to God Himself. And it is always immediate, complete, and joyful. It's a battle. It's a labor. It's a blessing. So let's look at a couple of questions that you can use during your quiet time. If true obedience is always immediate, complete, and joyful, do I respond immediately to calls for obedience? If not, why not? Do I complete every task assigned to me by those in authority over me? Am I ever less than joyful about following the orders of my superiors? That's one Father Mark and I have to confess to each other regularly. Obedience is a labor of love and a spiritual weapon in our warfare with the enemies of Christ. So, have I shown my love for God in the practice of obedience? Have I been faithful in the use of this spiritual weapon? Let me repeat those last two. Have I shown my love for God in the practice of obedience? Have I been faithful in the use of this spiritual weapon? Amen.